Welcome to the author commentary for Star Wars From a Certain Point of View, The Empire Strikes Back. Here we go behind the scenes with contributors to discuss the creative process behind their stories. A word of caution, these conversations may contain story spoilers. You have been warned. I'm Alex Davis, one of the Del Rey editors who worked on this amazing project, and right now we're talking to Lilium Rivera, author of a story called Beyond the Clouds. Lilium, welcome to the show.
Hi, so glad to be here. I'm wearing my Star Wars shirt, so I'm, you know, it's official.
Yes. You're wearing the shirt that we send all our authors in the mail to mark them as official members of the team. I wish. So, Beyond the Clouds, tell us about Isabalia? How?
Well, I would call her Isabella.
Oh, Isabella.
You know, because nice. she's probably Puerto Rican.
Yeah. So this is an original character developed for this story. What made you decide to go with that route? And, you know, tell us more about Isabella and her place in the galaxy.
Well, the thing is that I loved Empire Strikes Back. So that was like by far my favorite when I was, you know, really young. And so I watched it, you know, like everybody, 500 million times. And what I loved about that movie is that I always wondered what was going on in Cloud City. Like, I was like, really, like, where do people live? Like, what are the apartments like? Right. Where, you know, where are they eating? So, because we only get to see really like this very exclusive area. Like, we see where Han Solo and Leia and Lando, you know, they're going to be living in the exclusive places or staying in an exclusive place. And then of course we see where the Ugnaughts are, you know, are working. And so then I was just like, what else is there? What else is there? So I really did want to kind of create a character that lives in the city. And what does that look like for those who aren't part of the elite, you know, who are the workers? So that's where she came from. Like I definitely wanted her to be a young girl, but you know, who's just, you know, just trying to carve her way through the city. And what does that look like?
Right. When you're not just on the exclusive like Lando tour and he's not shutting all the doors with like weird stuff behind them.
Right. Like she's just one of the hundreds of workers there, you know, just trying to make a living somehow.
So tell us about how you developed the, I would call it a seedy underbelly even of Cloud City, the casinos and the bounty hunters rubbing shoulders and everything.
Well, yeah, that was the best part, right? Because I just wanted to like really see what are the backstory, you know, the backstories or the backhand, you know, deals that are happening throughout the city. So with Isabalia, I felt like she was like a great person to be able to like give us that guide of you know, the Azure Den, which is where she, you know, ends up hanging out, and the lifts that they take, the turbo lifts that they take, her small place that she lives, you know, like all these little things, you know, where most people aren't allowed, you know, you don't see that in Empire Strikes Back, but I wanted to include this. I wanted to include the fact that, you know, she wants more than anything in the world. She wants to be a bounty hunter. So she's like this wannabe bounty hunter. And she's just, you know, picking up gigs here and there and roughing up people and, you know, getting some points for this. But all she ever wants to do is just be a bounty hunter. And she thinks like maybe if she dresses a certain way, then she will be.
Yeah, the story really captures, like, you don't think about it watching the movie because of all the breezy open spaces, but the sense of claustrophobia you have to have living on essentially a mining platform and being unable to really leave in anything but a spaceship. The title itself, Beyond the Clouds, and the, what are they called, those creatures at the beginning?
The Beldens.
Yes, the Beldens.
I just imagine them being, you know, this, it starts off with her looking out and staring at these huge creatures. I imagine them to be like, sort of like, I don't know, like a mixture of octopus and blobfish, you know, kind of huge creatures that float in the sky, in this, you know, in the sky and in space. And she's staring at them, and she just, you know, she's just in awe of these creatures. And she longs for something, you know, there's something about these creatures that calls to her. And it's also this misplaced kind of like longing. Everything about her is like longing. If I do this, if I change this, if I become this, then I can be powerful. I can be, you know, a bounty hunter. People will take me seriously, all those things. And then, you know, you just sort of start realizing that not all of that is necessary.
Right. Like, we get that part where it's haunting. Recknello tells her, you know, those things are anesthetized. You know that, right? And it's like, ooh.
Right? It's like that feeling of, you know, what you wear. Like, I'm obviously, I love clothes. So I feel like if I wear the right clothes, then I'll feel invincible. And I feel sometimes with her, she has that too. Like, she's just like, well, if I just get the right bounty hunter costume, then I'm down.
Right. It's sort of a parallel to Lando, right? I mean, the king of surface appearances, the cape closets everywhere and everything. We actually, like, that sort of feeds into the seedier side to Lando's leadership also, we see in Cloud City. It makes sense. I mean, you know, he won it at a gambling table. But I had never really thought about how it must be like to have him as your chief administrator until this story, particularly in the concept of the work stoppage that was so interesting to read about in Star Wars. Where did that concept come from?
Oh man, I knew that I wanted to bring in some sort of uprising in Cloud City because, you know, Lando has, you know, he's very open about, like, you know, we're working under like some sort of, you know, under this Cloud City that no one, you know, we're able to do things that we're not allowed. A lot of people aren't allowed to. Other planets aren't allowed to. And that comes at a cost, obviously, right? We see that in Empire Strikes Back. And Lando is, you know, a politician. and they fail, usually.
Yes, they do.
So I really love this idea of, like, what does it look like for all these other workers who, you know, maybe bought into this this vision that Lando might have had in the beginning of creating, you know, Cloud City or manning Cloud City, and then sort of failing along the way. So I love this idea of Isabella just, you know, connecting with Joy Ia, who's, you know, a social activist in Cloud City, and how that kind of shapes her and shakes her up to see things that are, you know, nothing is quite as it seems. So where does she land? Is she going to continue, like, seeking this, you know, this desire, this dream to be this bounty hunter, or is she going to really be the fighter that she's meant to be? So yeah, that's what I love. And I just love this idea of an uprising happening in Cloud City. I mean, why not?
Yeah, for real. Why not? I mean, it is under imperial occupation. That can't exactly make people particularly thrilled with the government either.
No.
I'm interested, actually, on that subject, in how Joy and the other people taking part in the work stoppage, they didn't really turn to, like, the Rebel Alliance or anything. They took matters into their own hands.
But I think that makes sense, right? Because I don't feel like, sometimes in the movies you feel like it's only this side and this side, and there isn't. There's, like, there must have been multiple organizations, uprising, you know, traitors, you know, whatever it is. But it's just like, it's not just one thing, right? So who knows what, like, now, like, there's so many organizations out there doing all, like, good work and maybe horrible work. But what I love is that, you know, here's Joy kind of representing another side of what that means to be a rebel, what that means to fight against, you know, unjust, even if the unjust is Lando, for, you know, for all sense and purposes, it is, right? So, I just love that kind of mix it up a little bit.
So our heroine at the end, of course, joins the work stoppage and her little budding thing with Joy, which was wonderful to read. What do you think would have happened, though, if she'd chosen the other option at the end of the story and gone to go try and meet Boba Fett? Do you think he would have actually, you know, been like, yeah, I'll take you under my wing, sure. Or would he have just disintegrated her and moved on?
Right. Yeah, I think she was really blind into thinking that Boba Fett was just gonna like, yeah, come join my crew. Let's go. Like, you know, she was just so warped in that sense of like, no, I need to do this. If Boba Fett meets me, he's gonna see that I'm down and that he's gonna take me under his wing. And you know, I wouldn't have been the case. So it's really like she was at that crossroads of either death or fighting for another cause. So, what I love about it is too, is that she's wearing her bounty hunter outfit, new snazzy outfit. And it's like, it doesn't really matter, you know, what you wear. It's really like who you pick, like where do you go, you know?
Right. Sort of in addition to sort of discovering the, importance of the internal over like the external appearance. I really love how at the conclusion of this, she sort of also discovers, right, the myth of the lone wolf versus, you know, finding and supporting an actual community.
Oh yeah, I love that. I mean, that is one of my favorite tropes. You know, I love this idea of like, oh yeah, you know, if I do it alone, you know, I don't need anyone. I'm okay. You know, I could survive this by myself. But this is what I love about that is that I don't really believe that's true. Mm-hmm. We all need someone. So.
Well, especially in the current era we find ourselves in, I think it's a fantastic message to put in a story. And it's a great story as well. Thanks so much for coming here today to tell us about it, Lilium.
So thank you for having me. It's a big deal for even just a hint of the Bronx, New York, to be a part of Star Wars world. I mean, I can't even tell you how big deal that is.
And thank you as well, all you listeners out there for listening. You can read Beyond the Clouds and all the other stories in From a Certain Point of View, The Empire Strikes Back, available now from all of your favorite booksellers in print, ebook, and audio download. Thank you, and may the Force be with you.